Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Zeus with Bruce. You ever get that moment when you're sharing a lot of information with people or they're sharing information with you, some wisdom starts to get exchanged, and then every now and then there's an aphorism, there's an allegory, there's a metaphor, or my favorite, partially my favorite, is there's a quote. I've really been spending a lot of time on learning quotes, understanding their value and how to implement them in certain moments and conversations, and just how they're so important in our lives. A quote can really be the summation of an experience, of an idea, but put into a word that flows. People listen to music all the time, and then they're able to understand all the lyrics of a song, but they probably couldn't understand two or three paragraphs of something that's not as important, or may even be important, but doesn't operate in a melodic sort of sense. The beauty with quotes is that it can do that, and even if it doesn't, there's a story that's condensed into one or two sentences. Now, I've been told by one of my good friends when I used to live in DC that we would be talking and we'd be doing our work. And at times when he would come into my office, we would chat. And within the conversation, I would always throw out quotes and expressions. And it got to a point, and I'm actually really proud of this, where he would say, "Wow, Bruce, you are like an encyclopedia full of expressions." And that's one of the biggest compliments I've ever gotten. And what's really cool about that is it actually ignited in me the desire to not only always have a quote, an aphorism, an allegory, a metaphor, a story for somebody, but to also see if I can have a 3 to 5 minute conversation only using quotes. I've gotten to probably near 3, but 5, I believe, is really the benchmark. Now, with all that aside, having all these quotes and all these expressions, I thought to myself, what are my favorite quotes? Now, while it's impossible to choose, because a lot of quotes are actually more valuable in certain moments, I looked through my list, I really got down to it, and here are my 10 favorite quotes that I have that are usually going to be helpful in any situation in life, but for myself were very impactful when I heard them, and we're going to dissect them in no particular order, just starting from the top. Number one, "And those who were seen dancing were thought to be insane by those who cannot hear the music." Friedrich Nietzsche. Now, Nietzsche was a philosopher from Germany, I believe it was, or Austria or Prussia, it could be. And this is such a powerful idea that when you see people dancing and there's no music around, you think they're insane. You're thinking, what are these people doing? It's very out of the ordinary for these people to be dancing where there's really no rhyme or reason for them to be doing so. But the beauty of this is it's a reminder that people around you will oftentimes view you as insane or crazy when you're not following the norm. And this is a great way to summarize that idea, because a lot of times we're only going to actually perform when we believe it makes sense. We're only going to act when we believe it's going to be accepted. We'll only speak when we believe it'll be tolerated. The beauty here is to remember that although others may think you are insane because you're dancing, it's simply because they cannot hear the music. And if they did, they would have also joined in. Quote number two, "As the island of knowledge grows, so does the shoreline of ignorance," by John Wheeler. Now, I heard this quote when I was walking in DC, walking my corgi, and it really stuck with me so much. I had to pause the podcast I was listening, rewind it, listen to it again and again. And this is really so spot on, because if you've ever gone on a journey that you're learning, you're picking up more information, more wisdom, more experiences, as you keep learning, you're going to realize, wow, it's not that I don't know much, but it is kind of that you don't know much, and also that you're now becoming aware of how much you don't know. When you're saying the island of knowledge grows, meaning imagine you're this island, and let's say your brain's the island, and as your brain grows, cool, I'm growing so much, I'm seeing so much, I'm learning so much. You also see the shoreline of that island that also expands. And then that is correlated with your ignorance, because the more we know, the more we realize we do not know. It's a beautiful, beautiful way to visualize how, although we may acquire more knowledge and wisdom, we as a byproduct also develop ignorance, or at least the awareness that we are ignorant to so much more. Quote number three, "Imagination was given to man to compensate him for what he is not, a sense of humor to console him for what he is," by Francis Bacon, another philosopher. This idea is really cool because it encapsulates the two areas of life, right? Being a human, where you have your shortcomings and you also have the areas where you actually do well. When imagination is given to us to compensate us for what we are not, it helps us imagine what can be. Sure, we may not be that NBA player. We may not be this person who travels or has that family, does whatever, but we can imagine it. And imagination allows us to necessarily just escape, but expand from our lives and our identities, the ones that we've had that may in a way actually be limited because a lot of us are in positions that we may not be content with. And now the latter half, that a sense of humor to console him for what he is, meaning we're human. We have these flaws, we make these mistakes, we're really goofy, things happen. And giving us that sense of humor allows us to embrace more fully what we are. Imagination is the curiosity, so to envision and imagine what the future can have. And humor is a way to open ourselves up and to really humanize ourselves with others so we don't feel as bad as we normally do, even though we never really should feel bad or embarrassed or necessarily consoled. Quote number four, between stimulus and response, there is a space. And that space is the power to choose our response. In our response lies our growth and freedom. Now, this quote is attributed to Viktor Frankl, who wrote Man's Search for Meaning. He survived the Holocaust. Powerful book, great book. Definitely highly recommend reading it. It's a little intense, but it really puts that idea forward that so often in life, our ability to make decisions can be taken away from us. Our ability to control our circumstances are way beyond our control. And what we come to realize is that we don't really have much control over anything in life. But when something happens, the stimulus, and how we respond, the response, there's a tiny little spacing between the two of those. And that's where our power lies, our ability to give the event meaning and to understand that we have the ability to respond how we would like to respond, regardless of what's happening out there. It's such a beautiful idea because once everything's taken, they are unable to take our ability to choose, at least in our mind. That is the one fortress that must become impenetrable. And even when it is penetrated, there's still a way to circumnavigate that penetration and then find a way to get out of it and to create our own meaning. Because if not, we're absolutely stuck. We feel like we can't do anything. Terrible place to be. Quote number five. Never found who actually said this, but I just found it so short, succinct, and powerful. Fear is a mile wide and an inch deep. That is crazy. So think about it. Fear is a mile wide. You're seeing it. It's massive. Oh my goodness, looking all around you. But when you actually get into the water, it's just 1 inch. Danger is very real, but the fear we experience is not. So as we're seeing all this fear around us, we recognize that, okay, fear is really in our mind. And sure, there could be repercussions, but the actual only repercussion is not attempting something we know we should attempt. It's a very powerful way to visualize the simplicity of acknowledging that fear, we over exacerbate its impact, although it does negatively impact many people. But when we recognize it's only an inch deep, we're actually able to navigate that area and understand that, oh, it's not that bad. Just recently, I went skiing, and when I went, I had a lot of fear. Really did. And of course, there is danger, but the fear's in my mind. And what was cool is when I was skiing, I realized if I should just envision myself having fun, enjoying it, and the worst that happens is I fall on a pile of snow, I started to shift my fear. Unfortunately, also through an instructor, which is a good friend of mine, I was able to navigate that fear and actually enjoy skiing, which never in my 28 years of life did everything I could do. Number six, actually. The society that separates its scholars from its warriors will have its thinking done by cowards and its fighting done by fools. Thucydides. This quote is really cool for me because so often you have people who are brainiacs, who have brains, and people who have brawns, right? Rather brawn than muscle. And I thought that, okay, if you're super smart, you're not going to be strong. If you're super strong, you're not going to be super smart. But the reality is that our ability to think and our ability to exert physical force are actually two in the same. Now, this is cool because this quote is saying that the society that separates its scholars from its warriors will have its thinking done by cowards and its fighting done by fools. The scholar in this part are the people who are thinking, who are educated, and the warriors are the ones who are actually defending. So if you have a belief, you're a scholar, let's say you have some sort of belief through intellectualization, you have this belief, but if you're never actually going to do anything to defend that belief, how strong is your belief? If you really believe that the life of your family members is incredibly valuable, but you don't do anything to actually protect them, you're really a coward, and your belief probably doesn't mean as much. It really illustrates the point that if we try to separate these two, you can still get people who survive, but you're not going to get people who thrive. When you have an idea and you can defend it, you're much more likely to hold an idea. Just think about a time where you wanted to disagree with someone and they were two times your size. And maybe they have more power than you and more influence. Are you still able to speak up? But when you become someone who has these resources, who has the strength, you're actually very likely to stand up for what you believe in because you know you can defend it. Quote number 7. The child who is not embraced by the village will burn it down to feel its warmth. African proverb. Whew. Wow, this one was super powerful. I love this one. And it could not be more true. The idea is that if you're growing up in an environment, think about when you're in grade school or in high school, elementary school, college, whatever it is, specifically when you're young, is that if you are neglected, you have such a desire in you that you crave to be connected with people. And if you decide to go down the route of vengeance, you will ultimately need to get revenge so that you can finally feel like what it's like to be a part of a community, a part of a group, and to actually just be embraced. Getting that, being ostracized, being ousted, especially when you're young for doing nothing, it plays a part into your identity, and it really leads you to believe that you are someone who's incapable of X, Y, Z. Quote number 8. I keep getting mixed up on these quotes. The future has several names. For the weak, it is impossible. For the faint-hearted, it is unknown. But for the valiant, it is ideal. Victor Hugo. What a cool quote that really, for me, illustrates the idea that we get to prescribe meanings to not just the events in our life, but also how we envision time. So the future is coming up. Okay, great. For the people who are weak, oh, it's impossible. It's not going to happen. For the people who are faint-hearted, oh, yeah, maybe it's unknown. I don't know. But for the people who are valiant and say, you know what, it's ideal because the future is all we have. It's the opportunity we get to create. It really helps us to consolidate the idea that the way we go about approaching any situation is likely to provide the outcomes that we desire. Really consolidating that idea helps us understand also not just the future, but the past and the present. We need to embrace the future. For me, I always found that quote as one that left me in a place of, okay, out of these three, faint-hearted, weak, and valiant, who do I want to be? And seeing the outcome obviously leads me to wanting to be valiant. Quote number 9. Until the lions learn to write, every story will glorify the hunter. I'm not sure who this one was by. Yeah, but it's such a powerful idea because the lions are being hunted by the hunter. And we can say, oh, this is wrong. Why are hunters hunting lions? But if other people aren't going to defend the lion, if the lion doesn't know how to write their own story, articulate their struggle, then the hunter is going to be able to continue doing what they do. So if you think about any movement in history, any situation where there's, let's say, a dominant power and a not so dominant power, that they're actually at odds, and the person in the group that's struggling will never be able to combat the power that be because they can't communicate their own needs. They can't create a community. They don't know how to fight the resistance. And this is such a challenge because in any moment of life where there's someone who's oppressing and being oppressed, or there's anyone who has power and someone who doesn't, think about it in the most simple way. If you're in a relationship where it's asymmetrical, right, meaning that someone has more power than the other, it's going to be very difficult for you to actually at least equalize everything if you don't have the ability to communicate. So the lions will continue to get hunted, and they, in the stories that are written, will glorify the hunter because the lions aren't able to say their own their own part. This is really crucial to understand, because if you're not writing your history, if you're not writing your story, someone else will. And just like having a lawyer, if you go to court, is you need a representative. And if in life, we don't always get that representative, but the representative we do get at all times is ourselves. Meaning we need to be advocates for ourselves, because if we don't, we're depending on someone else's goodwill to do so. And goodwill doesn't always last. Finally, and I really believe this may be my favorite quote, I think it's so powerful visually, viscerally, it really encapsulates the entire idea of that we are a tabula rasa, meaning a blank slate, and that we can be created into something if we work on it. Here's quote number 10, and it goes, someone was asking the great Michelangelo from the Renaissance, someone was asking Michelangelo, wow, Statue of David, incredible. My goodness, what a work of art, masterpiece. How did you create the Statue of David? Michelangelo responds and goes, I saw the angel in the marble and I carved until I set him free. Whew, man, this one is so deep for me, because in all our lives, we may not have chosen where we were born and what the circumstances were, but through the decisions we make over the course of our lives, we are able to sculpt our character, to use a chisel and become who we know we can become. That there is a potential inside of us, but if we are stuck in this marble, if we do not constantly sculpt who we know we are, who we know who we can become, then we're always going to be this fixed marble that isn't what it could be. This one really sticks with me. Guys, those were 10 of my top quotes. There's plenty, plenty more. You'll notice them on more podcasts and more conversations and more talks that I do. I would recommend do a little bit of searching for quotes that really resonate with you and that you can return to. For example, a lot of people may tattoo their body and see, oh, it's an expression of myself. Look at this. It is. It's an expression of the self and something they can turn to that more often than not is something that gives them resolve and enables them to continue moving forward. The beauty of quotes is that you can use them. They're not your quotes. They're just pieces of wisdom, and people can connect with it more because it is expressing a universal ideal, a universal truth that just goes to show you that there's so much wisdom that can be packed in to just a little phrase that if you leverage it at the right times, can be your North Star. If you think about the Bible, the Quran, the Torah, Bhagavad Gita, any other holy books, religious books, philosophical books, movies, the quotes are in there for a reason, and their power can be unleashed, but without us to receive it and without us using it, there's all the potential that actually goes to waste. Those are my top 10 favorite quotes. Hope you guys enjoyed. Feel free to share with a friend who needs it. Hope this was playful for you guys to just expand the mind a little bit and really understand that there's so much wisdom in quotes and that there's so much more to explore when we leverage all that we know, all that we can acquire, and find a way to actually put that into practice and share with people. Because if you really think you don't sound good on your own thoughts, cool, come up with some quotes. What you'll notice, which is what I noticed, is that after a while, through all the accumulation and implementation of the quotes you've heard, you will soon be creating your own quotes that, surprisingly enough, don't underestimate yourself, will be quoted by others. Have a good one, guys.